Thankful to be able to be here, and good to have some back who are traveling. I understand that there are still a few that are traveling even now as we speak, and we want to be praying for their safe return to us. They'll be here soon. I know that Lori is on the road, Lori Burns, and I want to keep her and her travels in our prayers. I want to begin a study this hour that we're going to continue into the next hour of worship at 11 o'clock. And it is a study that I'm at least not capable of being able to cover all the bases or to look at it as fully as I would need to in the time that we have in this period. So we're going to break this up into two parts. I don't always like to do that, but sometimes forced to because of time issues. And I want to spend the time on this topic that we need to make sure that we have investigated, that we've studied, that we've answered any questions that we might have about it. And admittedly, even having done that, while I may have answered the questions that have come to my mind or things that I've dealt with myself, I may not answer all of your questions. And so let me say that as we finish this study, if you still have lingering questions or other things that you'd like to ask, we're always open to those questions and to open our Bibles and to study these things. What we're going to be looking at this morning in this particular study has to do with the subject of church-sponsored social meals. And I'm not seeing a remote up here. It just occurred to me I don't have one. I will need that this morning. And I use the term church-sponsored social meals because I have to be very specific about what exactly I'm talking about. A lot of people will say, have you noticed that church there in Blue Springs, Southside, that they don't have a kitchen? And that they don't believe in eating in the building. Well, there is a truth to the fact that we do not have a kitchen per se. We certainly have a small little room where we prepare the Lord's Supper. But to say that we don't believe in eating in the building, or that we believe that it's a sin to eat in the building, is kind of like saying that we don't believe in music. That's not exactly accurate. We do believe in music, of course. We believe in vocal music. We believe in singing. And we don't believe that eating a crumb in this building is going to cause somebody to be lost in hell. What we are opposed to is a church-sponsored social meal. And that's the reason that we don't have a dining room or a banquet facility or something as far as maybe a cafeteria would be considered, as some churches do. And people will often wonder why, in the same way that they would wonder, why are there no mechanical instruments in your worship? They would also wonder what would be wrong with having a church-sponsored meal, what many people call a fellowship dinner, a fellowship meal. Now, this is not a Bible term. Brother Stevens spoke about the use of this term fellowship in our gospel meeting a couple of weeks ago. And I'd recommend that you get that lesson because he did a very good job of explaining the meaning of the word fellowship and how it is a misnomer to use it in regard to a common meal that brethren would share together. But I won't be able to go into that fully, but Brother Stevens has, and I encourage you to take a look at that, listen to that lesson. But why wouldn't we have a meal like this? Well, let's look at, first of all, what the issue is and what it is not, because a lot of times this kind of clears up what we're talking about. To understand what folks here or this congregation collectively is opposed to and what it's not opposed to. When we're talking about what the issue is and is not, first of all, let us point out that the issue is not a benevolent meal for needy saints, not by any means. The church is authorized to provide benevolence to needy saints, and that might be in the form of a meal. In most cases, that would not need to be provided by the church because there would be members that would provide for that before the church could even get to it. But benevolence is not wrong, and for the church to provide that would not be wrong either. The issue is not eating food that is incidental to assembling for authorized worship and work. Now, note this word incidental. When I say that we are not opposing eating food that is incidental to an authorized assembly or worship of a local church, what I mean by incidental is something that is not planned. We'll look at that word in just a moment. What the issue is, and the reason Riley didn't have the song up on that first one was because for some reason this computer here decides to just format things differently than what is in my computer, and I had to reformat a few things. I obviously missed this. The issue is a church assembling for or providing the place, the food, the electricity, money out of its treasury. It's providing for a common meal, not the Lord's Supper, not a spiritual meal, but a common meal for social purposes, not benevolent purposes, not spiritual purposes, but social purposes. We're talking about a get-together. And again, we are talking about a matter of purpose, what the church purposes and plans to do, not what is incidental. Now, I said we'd discuss this word incidental, and this is an important word in this matter. The word incidental, Webster says, that it means occurring or liable to occur in connection with something else, happening in fortuitous or subjective conjunction with something else. That's a mouthful. That's a couple of big words there. But basically what it means is something that ensues by chance. It's something that is not planned or purposed. And therefore, what we're looking at here is a situation where a person is eating something that is incidental to our assembly. We did not assemble to eat. That person did not come here to eat. For instance, nursing a baby. A mother who has a newborn baby is going to have to feed that baby on a regular schedule. And especially with our new order of services, being here for at least 3 hours on Sunday mornings, a little baby's going to have to eat. Even the littler kids are going to have a snack here and there. Maybe it's goldfish or a piece of fruit or something like that. And that's not what we're saying is wrong. As a matter of fact, if there were a diabetic in the assembly and couldn't stand through one of my long sermons and they had to have a bite to eat, that would not be an issue that we're dealing with here. Now, those are incidentals. Those people are not coming here and assembling to eat their food. They're coming here to worship, or in the little kids' state, they're coming here because their parents brought them, but they didn't come here to eat. It is something that ensues by chance. So the issue is a matter of purpose. It is the church providing for a common meal for social purposes. Now, I think it's important, and I'm going to have to adjust this. You see me keep reaching up to it. I don't know how it changes week to week, but it does. I think it's important that we understand what we agree on, because when we understand what we do agree on, we realize that what we disagree on is really fairly minimal as far as the ground that we have to cover. It's not minimal in regards to God. It matters to God. I believe that we'll make that point this morning. But it's not like we're having to decide whether or not we believe that the Bible is inspired. We agree on that. When I say we, I'm talking about brethren, members of churches of Christ that differ on this matter. There are churches here in this community that believe that it is right for the church to provide for and to sponsor a common meal for social purposes. There's one just a few blocks away, not very far away from here, Church of Christ here in Blue Springs. Churches of Christ in Lee's Summit and Independence and Kansas City and the Northland and Overland Park and elsewhere that believe that it's right for the church to provide a common meal for social purposes. And so what is the difference between a church that would provide that and a church that wouldn't? Well, it's much like looking at what about a church that would teach baptism is necessary for the remission of sins and believe in elders and church autonomy, but they have instrumental music and worship. Well, we would agree on several matters here, but here's where we would disagree. We would look at those matters. That's what I want to do here. Where do we differ with brethren that believe it's right and that practice church-sponsored social meals? Well, first of all, we all, for the most part, agree that it is sinful for the church to act without authority. We see that in a number of passages. For instance, in 2 John 1 and in verse 9, the Bible says, "Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God." And so we've got to make sure that we have the doctrine of Christ, the authority in His doctrine, in order to move forward. In Matthew 7, in verses 21 through 23, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?" Many wonderful works. And Jesus said, "I will say to them, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Now, notice that word lawlessness. We've mentioned this many times, but I want this to be very well understood. The term that is used here, lawlessness, is the Greek word anomia. And that prefix, a, means essentially without. The word nomia means law. And therefore, it is a word that means without law. Now, notice that. Without law would be a person who is an outlaw. Not an outlaw like Jesse James, but a spiritual outlaw, a person who is not submitting to the laws and the governance of God. It means to be without authority. So to act without authority is thus sinful. Now, while we agree on that, with most brethren that I know that believe it's right to have a church-sponsored social meal, we also agree that there are only five authorized acts of worship for the church. First of all, we are authorized in the realm of prayer in Acts chapter 2 and in verse 42. I think I figured out what the problem was here. Wire in the back. In Acts chapter 2 and in verse 42, you might remember there where the Bible tells us that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. I don't think that we have spent a lot of time proving these points. We agree on these things. We are authorized to sing, Ephesians 5 and in verse 19, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. We're authorized to partake of the Lord's Supper, 1 Corinthians 11 and verses 23 through 26. I receive from the Lord that which I delivered to you. And Paul goes on and gives instruction about partaking of the bread and the fruit of the vine in remembrance of Him. And that's to be done on the first day of the week, Acts 20 and in verse 7. In laying by in store, 1 Corinthians 16, we see there in verses 1 and 2, concerning the collection for the saints, as I've given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also on the first day of the week. Let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. And then there is the preaching of the gospel. In Acts 20 and in verse 7, we find that on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. There we have authority for prayer, for singing, for the Lord's Supper, for laying by in store and preaching of the gospel to be a part of our worship of God. This is something that we have either an approved example, a command, a direct statement, or a necessary implication regarding. Again, I don't want to spend too much time on that because I believe that we all agree that we're authorized to do those things. But here's the point, that adding any other act of worship is without authority, and thus it is sinful. In Matthew chapter 15, Jesus said in verses 7 through 9, hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Verse 9, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrine the commandments of men. So taking the doctrines of men to authorize what we do in our worship, it eviscerates our worship. It makes it completely void, vain, empty, and useless. He goes on in verse 13 and says, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Adding to these five acts of worship is sinful. Proverbs chapter 30 and in verse 6, the Bible says, do not add to his words, lest he rebuke you and you be found a liar. What am I talking about with adding to the worship? Well, there are many people that call themselves Christians that make burning of incense a part of their worship. While that was something that was authorized in the Old Testament under the law of Moses, it's not something that's authorized in the New Testament. It is not a part of New Testament worship for Christians. But not only that, those that would count beads or pray to Mary in some form of ritualistic worship, or the use of instrumental music in worship, we agree that these are additions to what is authorized. And because they're not authorized, it is then sinful. Now, that being said, let us then take note of the fact that like there are five authorized acts of worship, in the same manner there are three authorized areas of work for the church. There is the work of evangelism. We see in Acts chapter 11, in verses 22 through 26, then news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. The church sent Barnabas out for the preaching of the gospel, and he went out and preached. We noticed in Philippians chapter 4 and verses 15 through 16 that the church at Philippi supported Paul in his preaching in Macedonia. And in 1 Thessalonians 1 and in verse 8, "For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place." We understand the church is authorized in this work. Again, not something that we need to belabor, because I believe everyone agrees that evangelism is an authorized work of the church. And likewise, edification. Edification is a spiritual building up. To build up brethren spiritually in the most holy faith. For instance, in Revelation 3 and in verse 2, "Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain." That's what he told the church there. Strengthen the things. That means to edify those things. In Acts 9 and in verse 31, the Bible says the churches throughout Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and were edified. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and in verse 26, he says, "Let all things be done unto edification." He's talking about within the realm of the work of the church. We understand that we're authorized in that role. But also in the work of benevolence. In Acts chapter 4 and in verse 32, "The multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things that he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common." Verse 33, "And with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Great grace was upon them all." Verse 34, "Nor was there anyone among them who lacked, for all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet and distributed to anyone as distributed to each as anyone had need." In Acts 11, the church there at Antioch took a collection and then they sent that to those who were in need in Jerusalem. In 1 Corinthians 16, that's exactly what that verse is addressing, is the needy saints and the collection that is made on their behalf. So what we need to see is that these are the only three areas of authorized work for the church. Now, worship falls within the realm of edification and evangelism. So somebody says, "Well, I'd add worship to that." Well, we could put worship there, but I believe that worship is a part of both our evangelism and edification. It is certainly authorized. We know that. But outside of these three, including worship within them, there is no other work that the church has, not social, not recreational, not political, not in any other way, not educational as far as secular education is concerned. There's absolutely no authority for it. And therefore, in the same way that it is a sin to add to the authorized worship of the church, it is likewise a sin to add to the authorized work of the church. Remember Proverbs 30 and verse 6. "Do not add to His word, lest He rebuke you and you be found a liar." There are churches today that are involving themselves in secular business, buying and selling and making a profit. They're involved in maybe owning of corporations or buying stock, and they're selling items in order to raise money. There are church hospitals. There are churches that do tax preparation for people. Churches that provide auto repair. These things, none of them fit within the realm of evangelism, of edification, or of benevolence. They are social outreach, or maybe recreational, or more, maybe they're in the realm of the medical, but they are none of them in the realm of the spiritual. The church is the pillar and the ground of the truth, and its work is spiritual. Its work is in evangelism, edification, and in benevolence. Therefore, we have to understand that adding to God's Word in this way is then sinful, because it is an addition. Now, let us notice, what we have shown is that a common meal for social purposes is not evangelism. When we said that the church is authorized in evangelism, edification, or benevolence, and to add any other work is sinful, then that means that if the common meal for social purposes is authorized, then it has to fit within the work of evangelism or the work of edification or the work of benevolence. So which one would it be? Is it benevolence? Is it edification? Is it evangelism? Well, I want to suggest to you that it is not evangelism. When we see the work of evangelism, Mark 16 and verse 15, Jesus outlined it here. "Go into all the world and preach the gospel." The gospel, that's the only thing that is involved in evangelism. I realize that there are incidentals, or there are expedients, I should say, like this overhead projector. or having a sermon outline in print. Those things are expedients to preach the gospel. They don't add to the preaching of the gospel. They just expedite it. And we're going to be looking at that idea of an expedient in just a moment. But let's just say that it is not evangelism, because evangelism is composed of simply this, preaching the gospel. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and in verse 8, we see here where he says that that they sounded forth the word not only in Macedonia and in Achaia, but in every place. They sounded forth the word. What we see then is that God's word is absolutely the only thing that we find on the menu of gospel preaching, if you will. No food, no spaghetti, no fried chicken, no watermelon or cantaloupe or anything like that. It is the preaching of the word is the only thing that's going to be involved in the idea of evangelism. But what about edification? Well, I want to suggest to you that a common meal for social purposes is not edification either. Edification, as the church is authorized, is building someone up spiritually, not physically, but to build them up spiritually. Look in 1 Peter chapter 5 and in verse 2. The Bible tells us there that the elders are to shepherd or feed the flock which is among them, serving as overseers. That word shepherd means to feed. Someone might say, well, there we have the authority. Elders are to feed the flock, and so we can have our fellowship meal. But what are they to feed the flock? Look in Acts chapter 20. In Acts 20 and verse 17, it says that from Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. So they came down and met him there in Ephesus, the elders from Ephesus came down to Miletus and met with Paul. And what did Paul tell them there? Paul told them in verse 28 to take heed to themselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit hath made them overseers to shepherd, there's that word again, feed the flock of God. So they had the duty to feed. Here Paul says it. Peter says it first. Now Paul says it. But what are they to feed them? Look at verse 32. And so now I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up. There's the idea of edification. Build up. Edify means to strengthen, to build up. He says in verse 32, the word of God's grace, the gospel, is able to build us up. And Paul says, I commend you to that word. That's what you're to feed. That's what you're to provide for the church. We've got to understand that this is the only thing that is authorized as far as what God gives them to feed. Notice in 1 Peter 2 and in verse 2, Peter says, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Notice how he uses the metaphor of food or of milk in regard to the word of God. That shows us that this is what elders are to feed the flock. The feeding, in order for it to be edification, is to be a spiritual feast. And that spiritual feast that is prepared is the word of God. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's how they will grow thereby. There's the idea of edification. I want you to notice with me also in Romans chapter 14 and in verse 7 and 17. Romans 14 and in verse 17. Paul says, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy. Now think with me for a moment. If eating a common meal, what some brethren want to call a fellowship dinner, if eating a common meal with brethren edifies us spiritually, how could Paul, by inspiration, say that the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking? If those things provide edification, and edification is a part of the kingdom, how could he say that the kingdom is not eating and drinking? He didn't say the kingdom of God is not praying, did he? He didn't say the kingdom of God is not studying the Word of God. He didn't say that, did he? But he did say that the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. That tells us something there. What we understand is, from that a common meal for social purposes might build us up socially. It might make us closer to one another, to get to know each other better. That's called hospitality, and that is the work of an individual Christian. And it might build us up socially in our interaction with one another, but it does not build us up spiritually. Therefore, it is not an authorized work of the church. And I want you to notice another point here. When a person makes the argument that the common meal for social purposes is edification, here's the consequence of that. If it is edification, then it is authorized to be done here in our assembly right now. Not after hours in some tucked away room in the building that is called a dining room or a fellowship hall or whatever other misnomer might be used in regard to it, family life center or otherwise. No, the Bible authorizes us to edify one another in our worship service. When we come together at 9 o'clock, when we come together at 11 o'clock, when we partake of the Lord's Supper, when the gospel is preached, when we sing these hymns, we are edifying one another. Remember when we're singing, we're speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs? That we're teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs? Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. We're edifying one another. At 9 o'clock and at 11 o'clock in our worship service, yes, in our Sunday morning worship service, the same one where we partake of the Lord's service, we're edifying one another. So, if it is true that the common meal for social purposes is edification, then we need to break out the popcorn and Cokes. We need to have the hot tamales and crunch and whatever else that you like to have because it's edifying, right? He said, well, no, that would be wrong. And I want to tell you, just for the record, every brother or sister that I've studied with on this issue has made that believes that it's right to provide it. They know that it's not evangelism and they know that it's not benevolence. And we'll look at that in just a moment. They have to make their argument that it edifies us when we come together and have this meal. But every one of them will tell me that it would be sinful to have that meal right here in this assembly, in our worship assembly. They tell me it'd be blasphemous. Well, I want to tell you, you can't have both. You can't have a common meal for social purposes that is edification and then say that it's sinful in this assembly. It's one or the other. If it's sinful in this assembly, it is not a work of the church because it's not edification or evangelism or benevolence. We cannot have it both ways. Now, sadly, there are some churches of Christ, I realize, that would be more than happy to have their food and everything else that would go along with it in their worship assemblies. Those churches are becoming more denominational than not. But most of our brethren, most of the churches in this area that provide these church-sponsored social meals, they will argue that it builds us up spiritually. And it's edification, thus it's authorized. But it is not so. The Word of God is the only thing that builds us up. The kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. And therefore, it is not edification. It is not benevolence. As we noted, social purposes are not the same as benevolent purposes. Not by any means. And therefore, it is not a benevolent meal. We have no objection to the church providing a meal for needy brethren. Absolutely not. That is something that is authorized. A common meal for a needy saint is not the issue. The issue is a church providing a social get-together meal. Fried chicken, barbecue, whatever else, the little smokies, or whatever people want to have at their potlucks. And their cafeteria meals, that's what we're talking about. We're not talking about a needy saint. And if that's the only thing that's being done in these churches, we are not in objection to that. But you know, and I know, and they know, that that's not all that's being provided. As a matter of fact, I don't even know a church that is even providing such a meal in that particular way. Not for needy saints. No, sir. And therefore, what we see is that while a common meal for social purposes is not evangelism, it is not edification, and it is not benevolence. It is thus an addition to the authorized work and mission of the church. Proverbs 30 and verse 6, do not add to His word, lest He rebuke you and you be found a liar. Revelation 22, in verses 18 through 19, I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. The common meal for social purposes is an addition to the authorized work of the church. Well, I said that we were going to look at this idea of an expedient. Let's look at that before we end our study this morning. Let us also notice that a common meal for social purposes is not an expedient. First of all, in order for a thing to be expedient, it has to first be authorized. It must first be lawful. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 12. Notice it. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. There's the idea of expedient, something that expedites. So he's saying that within the realm of everything that is authorized, not all of those things are expedient. So that means that all things that are expedient fit within this realm of what is authorized. We see the same thing in 1 Corinthians 10 and 23. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. And so, when we look at this idea of an expediency, we can look back at the law of Moses just as an example. Not for authority, but as an example. We think about the Passover Supper. God had specified that they were to offer on the Passover, they were to offer a lamb without blemish. And it was to be one of the first year. And he said that they could take their lamb from the sheep or from the goats. That was their liberty. They were authorized to do that. But it had to be a lamb of the first year without blemish. Therefore, an Israelite could not kill and eat a pig as an expedient in the Passover Supper. Why not? Because that would be an addition to a lamb of the first year and without blemish. And in that same way, when we're looking at our worship, when we think about the Lord's Supper, we all understand and agree that we cannot offer peanut butter on the unleavened bread. As much as I like peanut butter, that would make it so palatable. Everybody would enjoy it. I know it would be pretty dry. We might have to have a little bit bigger cup of grape juice there, but we can't offer it. We can't put peanut butter on the unleavened bread as an expedient in the Lord's Supper because it's another kind of food. It is an addition, not an expedient. An expedient cannot be an addition. It is something that simply expedites what is authorized without adding to it. For instance, Noah could use a saw, an axe, or a hammer, or all three as expedients to the command to build yourself an ark of gopher wood. Because when he finished using those tools, if all he built was an ark of gopher wood, then he obeyed God and did not add to what was authorized. He used things that expedited the obedience to that command. He could not use pine wood as an expedient because that's another kind of wood. There's the difference between an expedient and an addition. So an expedient cannot be an addition to the action, to the work, or to the object that is authorized. But an expedient is anything that is necessary or helpful to carry out or expedite that which God authorizes. Let's notice an example of this. Baptism is commanded by God. It is thus authorized. Anything that is authorized by command, by a direct statement, by an approved example, or by necessary implication is authorized by God. And baptism is commanded or required by God. And so then, we see that a baptistry, as we have here, is merely an expedient to obedience to that command. When we use this baptistry, we didn't add to the command to baptize. We used it to baptize. And that's all that occurs. When we use this, the only thing that happens is baptism. But sprinkle. Now that's another action. That's not baptism. Baptism is an immersion in water for the remission of sins. Sprinkling is another action altogether. That's not an expediency. That's an addition. I realize that when it made its introduction into the religious world, the action of sprinkling was introduced by the Catholic Church in an effort to resolve a problem where you had a deathbed confession and someone that wanted to be baptized, but they were physically unable to be transported and to be baptized. Well, first of all, why were they having such things as that? Well, for one reason, because there were people that were trying to wait as late and as long as they could to be baptized. in order to be saved. But still, the bottom line is that the fact that we might have a circumstance like that does not authorize the changing of what God has authorized. Sprinkling is not authorized. God says, immerse. That's what the word baptize means. Therefore, a baptistry is something we immerse people in as God has authorized, but sprinkling is an addition. An expedient cannot be an addition. A common meal for social purposes, then. It is not an expedient because it does not carry out or expedite evangelism. No, a Bible does that. An overhead projector does that. But a potluck does not. It's another action. It does not carry out or expedite edification. A sermon does that. Spiritual hymns do that. Bible classes do that. But a common meal for social purposes does not. And it does not expedite or carry out benevolence. And therefore, it is another action, work, or mission of the church. And thus, it is an addition and it is sinful. What is authorized? That's what we've got to keep coming back to. Well, as we go on in our study, we're going to look at the fact that a common meal for social purposes is actually an unauthorized or sinful way of drawing or attracting people. That's what a lot of churches are doing today. They're using these common meals as an effort to get more young people to come or to get more families to come. And I want to tell you that that in and of itself is unauthorized and sinful. Now, I'm not going to charge that every church that has a potluck or a common get-together meal and the church sponsors it, provides for it. I'm not going to charge that every one of them is doing it to attract people, but I know that many of them are because they've told me such. We're going to see if that's authorized in and of itself. But that's where we'll begin in the next hour. I appreciate your kind attention this morning and hope that you'll be ready for us to complete this study and the 11 o'clock hour. If you would, bow with me in prayer and then we will be dismissed to our Bible classes.